most fit condition. The third one, there is a sharp division here when a ruler in verse 22 has sinned. So now then we switch from the priest to the king, and it is actually a lesser offering. We will notice that in just a minute. But when a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, or if the sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats. So this is a secondary offering, being secondary unto the bullock. It simply tells us that, first of all, that the ruler speaks of Christ as king, identified with the people, and he assumes the responsibility for them. And even as a king, for instance, of a country, if one of his citizens goes and does something wrong in some other country, then that king must assume responsibility for such an ambassador, and so on. But anyway, in verse 23, if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats. Again, of course, as the goat speaks of substitution, but more emphatically bringing out that this is a lesser offering than that which is offered by the priest. Now, this simply tells us that redemption is accomplished more by Jesus as a priest than as a king. Some people only have a revelation of Christ. You've heard them say, I'm waiting for Jesus, my soon coming king. Well, this is really not at all for the Gentile, because Jesus is the king of the Jew. But when people speak of Christ as the king, they set themselves apart from him. In other words, the congregation is more closely identified with the priest than the common people are identified with the king. I really don't think I would get very far if I walked up to the front gate of the White House and went to walking in there to shake Mr. Nixon's hand. I think that a few civil service men would carry me politely or unpolitely out of there. Now, why is that? Because I am not closely associated with a ruler. But you see, a priest is different, or a shepherd is different. We have a much closer relationship with a priest than we do with anyone than we do with a ruler. And so to see Christ as a king is to put ourselves very far removed from him, and not to have a close place of fellowship. Well, he is still responsible, as we find here, but there is not the degree of fellowship, and of course it does not give us the full impact of atonement and of redemption at all. Verse 27, if any one of the common people, you see, this identifies this one with the king. If any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he does somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord. This common people, it is in the Hebrew, according to my margin, is any soul or the people of the land. So this seems to be anyone. All right, verse 28, if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall offer the offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish for his sin which he has sinned. Now then, in chapter 25, this is still dealing with the sin offering. Now you will notice such words as trespass down here, but this is not the trespass offering proper, as we will notice. First, in chapter 5, verse 1, if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing. Now, you see, this deals with the fruit. The first was in ignorance. That is, it was hidden. It was below. No one could pinpoint that. But this, if you hear the voice of swearing, if you witness whether he has seen or known of it, or in verse 2, if any soul touch anything, you see, all of this is outward. This is that which can be seen. And so it tells us of the fruit of sin which is dealt with. And Jesus, of course, dealt with both of them. He killed the, put the axe to the root of the tree in order that he might get rid of the fruit of sin. All right? Verse 6, if this happens, then he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. As I say, this is not the trespass offering proper. We will notice that a little bit on down here. He shall bring this, as is termed here, the trespass offering unto the Lord for a sin which he has sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats. Verse 8, he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer, that is, for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And the meaning is the same concerning these birds. Christ is not open to our view if we only understand him as the Son of God. Now then, verse 11, in cases of extreme poverty, when someone had sinned against the Lord, if he is not able to bring two turtle doves, in verse 11, or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour. This tells us that salvation is so simple and so easy that anyone could get a hold of a handful of flour. And so it takes such a very little bit to be saved. Amen. It is just not hard at all to be saved if people just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's just as simple as that. Nothing to do, nothing to make up for, and no amends to make or anything of that nature. He just saves people on the basis of that little old tiny handful of flour, faith we might say. And this is really is all that any of us have whenever we first come to the Lord. Yeah. But he could offer this handful of flour for a sin offering. That was sufficient. All right. Of course, this was for extreme poverty, and it tells us of ignorance, as this poverty here, not even being able to afford the two turtle doves. It tells us of the absolute ignorance of redemption and what Christ has come in the world to do. Verse 14. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, now this is the division, you see, between the sin offering and the trespass offering, is that the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this is always said whenever there is something new that is coming about, and this is the trespass offering proper. If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, by thy estimation, shekels of silver and what have you. And the important point about the trespass offering, the thing that sets it apart from the rest of the offerings, is in verse 16, he shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering. It shall be forgiven him. All right. Now then, this one is where they had to restore the fifth part more. In other words, if a man stole a sheep and something happened to it, well, then he had to restore that plus a fifth part more, the value of a fifth part more. All right, this is what Jesus did. As we read, I believe it's Psalm 69, he says, then I restored that which I took not away. It tells us that Christ restored more unto us and to God than Adam took away. He made amends. In other words, God's government had been offended by sin and by the fall of man. But Jesus didn't just restore us to the Adamic state to fall all over again and to sin again. No, we're no better than Adam. And if we had been given the same chance that Adam did, we wouldn't have done any better. We'd have, as the saying goes today, we'd have blew it too, because we're not holy. We were not holy. So we find that when Adam fell, well, certainly there was a great loss unto God and to man. But when Jesus restored us, he restored us to a place above that which Adam had, because he made us saints, and that means holy ones. God accepts us in Christ as a new creation. And this is the difference, of course, between us and Adam. Adam only had a natural human righteousness before he fell. But God has made us holy and given us the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. So this is just one way that he has restored that which he took not away and added the fifth part. Of course, the fifth is only symbolic, because Jesus certainly restored more than the fifth part more. All right, notice further in verse 1 of chapter 6. This is a continuation of the trespass offering. In verse 2, if the soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie to his neighbor in that which was delivered to him, or in fellowship, or in anything by violence, or he deceived his neighbor in any way. Verse 5, or if he swore falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal and shall add the fifth part more. And so you can remember that the particular part about the trespass offering is that the fifth part more had to be restored, plus the principle, of course. Verse 8, of this same chapter, the Lord spoke to Moses, his command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. Now, again, you will find in the Scripture that God does not leave himself without a witness, and he does not leave things to the imaginations or to the minds of men. He had all five of these offerings, but he also had laws to go with them to tell just exactly how to fix them and what was to be done. He wanted every intricate detail taken care of because all of this foreshadowed Calvary. God could only accept these offerings for the simple reason that they pointed to Calvary. Every time he saw an offering, he looked down the ages and saw Jesus there upon the cross. And if it had not been for Christ who came in fulfillment of the offerings, none of them would have been any good whatsoever. But he just rolled these sins, we might say, up on top of each other year after year after year. And then finally, everything was taken care of at the cross. So this is the law of the burnt offering, exactly how it was to be done, and this is exactly how Christ did it. All right. Verse 10, the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches. This simply means that Jesus possessed his own righteousness when he offered himself up. He was made sin for us, which is very much true. But he was holy himself. He had his own holiness and his own righteousness. He wore his own linen garments and his linen breeches. And notice verse 11, he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. We will notice more about him taking off some garments a little bit later. Verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And again, this tells us of the eternal offering of Christ. It never goes out. God sees, as I said last week, the offering of Jesus as though he just offered it this morning. And it will never go out. It is an eternal offering. Verse 15, he shall take up his hand full of the flour of the meal offering, the oil thereof, and the frankincense which upon the meal offering, and burn it upon the altar. So this was the law for the meal offering. And notice that most of this offering was actually given unto the priest. All of the first offering was given unto God. Just a handful of this was given unto God. Verse 16, the remainder of it was given to Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread in the holy place in the court of the tabernacle. Now, we notice here that his sons represent for us the fact that we are priests unto God. Now, God has made us kings and priests unto himself. You will find this brought out by the four living ones and the 24 elders over in the book of Revelation. And this is open for anyone who wants to come in and receive such a place. Now, it is a place that you have to grow into. The moment that you are born again, you're not a king, you're not a priest, either one. Because, who ever heard of a baby being a ruling king or a priest either? You see, this is something that we must grow into and appropriate as we go on with the Lord. But I do want to notice that each one of us can be priest. We will notice this a little bit more later on. And there are certain opportunities that are available for the priest. Now, there was only one high priest, and there's still just one high priest. We'll never be a high priest. This is Jesus' ministry, and he alone. He is the high priest. But you see, there were four lesser priests in the case, in this case, and I believe that just speaks of the fact that anyone in the world, you see, the four corners of the earth, can be a priest if they so desire, if they really want to enter into that place. Now, a priest speaks of close fellowship with the Lord. And this is what we have here, that the sons of Aaron, or the priest, are able to come into the holy place, and only the priest could do that. Now, the only difference between them and us is that not only do we get to go into the holy place, we get to go into the Holy of Holies,
yeah,
into the very closest place of fellowship with the Lord. All right? So we find here that being qualified as sons or as priests, then our food is unleavened bread, of course, feasting upon Christ without evil practice or doctrine. And we will notice more things that these priests have. It is their food. And verse 17, it shall not be bacon with leaven, as we have noticed, and I've given it unto them for a portion of my offerings, and so on. The important point that I wanted to notice, especially in verse 16, this was eaten in the holy place. And this is where that we find our real deep eating, our fellowship with God, is in the holy place. Not out there, out on the prairie somewhere, but you see, in here in the presence of God is where that we find the real deep sustenance and the real depth of the things of the Word of God. All right, going on, chapter 6 and verse 22, the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. Every meal offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, it shall be killed. Of course, this, by the way, in verse 23, it was spoke of the meal offering that is, it was for or in behalf of the priest. This was not the one to be eaten, but the one that was given to be burnt before the Lord. And this tells us of the life of Christ, of course, as a man before his public ministry, when only God could enjoy him. People speculate many times, well, I wonder what Jesus did during those years from 12 to the age of 30. Well, that's none of our business. Jesus was living his life before his Father. Only God could appreciate him. He was growing up. He was receiving undoubtedly revelations as a man and walking just like any other man in this world. But you see, he was actually living his life before God, and God was enjoying his perfect obedience. He was enjoying, you remember how the scripture says over in Hebrews, he learned obedience for the things that he suffered. Well, during all of those years, of course, learning obedience unto the complete will of his Father. So only God could enjoy him. Well, this little handful of meal offering, as we said, it represents his perfect even humanity. It was God who was enjoying that little handful of humanity before Jesus entered his public ministry. And then, of course, the public partook of him as he ministered to them, as he healed them, as he blessed them, as he lifted them up everywhere he went. All right. Now, in verse 25, this is the law of the sin offering. And in the same place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering is killed. Now, the burnt offering is a sweet savor offering, the sin offering a non-sweet savor offering. But now, a little later, we will find one killed without the camp, but not this particular one. This simply shows the worth of Christ, though he was made sin for us. And that shouldn't be hard to realize, because the worth of Jesus in the eyes of his Father, even though that Christ was made sin for us and made everything horrible that we could imagine, yet how worthy he was in the eyes of God, and what an offering he was in the eyes of God. All right, now then, verse 26 seems strange, but wonderful. The priest that offers it for sin shall eat it. So there was a part of the sin offering that the priest ate. That seems rather strange, but nevertheless, there is some wonderful correspondence to this. It speaks of our sufferings with Christ, even in behalf of others. You can compare this with Colossians 1:24, where Paul says, that I might fill up that which is lacking of the sufferings of Christ, which is for his body's sake, the church. Now, we do not in any way make atonement. I don't think I have to emphasize that. But we do suffer for the same people that Jesus did, and there are some sufferings, as we find Colossians 1:24, fill up that which is lacking, or that which is behind, or that which is remaining of the sufferings of Christ. It seems like that he just left some of these sufferings behind for us on purpose, that we might endure those sufferings. For who? For the same people and for the same reasons. For his church, because of the will of God. And so we do suffer today because of sin. We suffer, of course, because men reject the gospel. We suffer often at the hands of wicked men. And the Apostle Paul, of course, exemplified this more than anything else. But we do suffer because of the evil forces of Satan today. We feel pressures on every hand. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, accept this at the hands of God. Another scripture is Philippians 3:10. Paul says that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. This does not mean suffering because of some boo-boo we made. It means suffering in the will of God and because of a perfect obedience unto God and because of the gospel's sake. Even suffering for the church. Now, we will also find a little bit later on that eating of the sin offering means to agree with God as to his judgment upon sin. This is brought out very emphatically a little bit later on, and so I think I will wait until we get over there to go into that. But you can keep in mind it means agreeing with God as to his judgment upon sin. whether it be our own sin and shortcomings or someone else. All right, there was something very, well, there are many things peculiar to this offering, but one particular one in verse 28, if this offering was killed in an earthen vessel, or if it was sodden in an earthen vessel, that vessel shall be broken. This simply means that God did not want the death of Christ to be confused or tainted with any other death. In essence, it is to say, some would confuse the death of Christ with the death of a martyr. That he didn't really die for the sins of the world, he just died as a good man. His death was just like any other man that died for what he believed in. And this is most emphatically not the truth. Jesus died because that he felt a judgment from God for all the sins of humanity. And so his death is not to be confused in any way with any other death. There have been people down through the ages that have been compared with Christ as to the death that they died and what a hero they were. Well, remember, Jesus didn't die as a hero. Jesus died as the most terrible sinner of all time in the eyes of God. And so he was not a martyr. He was the most degraded, corrupt snake that you could ever imagine hanging there upon the cross in the eyes of God. So he was not a martyr nor a hero. Chapter 7 we find in verse 2. In the place where they kill the burnt offering shall they kill the trespass offering, the blood thereof sprinkled round about. By the way, of course, all of these offerings were fulfilled, especially at the cross, as we notice the meal offering fulfilled before that when Jesus' life was poured out, but they were all culminated at the cross. Verse 11, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for thanksgiving, he shall offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and so on. There were three different degrees of the peace offering. As I said a while ago, this is a fellowship offering, and there is almost an entire chapter devoted to this. Therefore, we realize the importance of fellowship with God because of the offering. The first degree of this is the least of them. That's the thanksgiving offering in verse 12. This tells us of thanks for some special cause, and it corresponds with people the only time that they ever praise the Lord or worship Him or come to Him and enjoy Christ is when God has done something very special for them, whether He's healed their bodies or He has met a certain need in their lives. They're just so thankful, many times just to be alive or something of this nature. But thanks for some special cause, whatever the case may be. And notice there was something concerning this, verse 15, the flesh of the offerings of His peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. And so this tells us that we cannot live on one experience or blessing forever. Now, maybe God has blessed us in wonderful ways, and maybe we are thankful even to be alive. Maybe we are thankful because that God has given us food to eat. But you can't just live on that experience for the rest of your life. It was to be eaten and enjoyed that day and really forgotten thereafter. Verse 16, if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow, this is the second degree of the offering, and it tells us of the pressure of circumstance. In other words, people vow a vow unto the Lord. Now, Lord, if you'll just do this for me, then I'll do something for you. You see some real hard praying, getting down and really getting in earnest with the Lord. This is what is brought about by the vow. And of course, this is an honorable, very honorable offering to think that people would turn unto the Lord, that He would deliver them. But the greatest of them is the voluntary offering. No particular reason to praise the Lord. Not that He has done anything special for us, or that we are in any real bad trial or tribulation need Him to deliver us, but just praising and worshiping Him because we love Him. This is the greatest of the offerings, continually worshiping the Lord. And this tells us of a rejoicing spirit at all times. And this is the voluntary offering. And notice that it shall be eaten the same day that He offers His sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. So it is still real. It seems that both of these offerings are